Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by a guest speaker.
Amen. Church family, you can have a seat. Would you thank Greta and the team for leading us so well today? Glad that you are worshiping with us today. My name is Rob. I'm the lead pastor here at Salem Alliance, and we've got a special Sunday happening today as we kick off our Reach campaign. Couple of things before we jump in. One, if you are new to this place and you're here today and maybe English is not your first language, I just want to let you know we have translation available. It's simultaneous translation. You download this Interactio app, you put in your headphones, and you can just follow along. At this service, we have ASL as well as Swahili and French, and then at 11 o'clock, we have Spanish. If you want to help us spread the word about that, we would greatly appreciate that. Also, last week, we continue to see people coming forward to the cross and roses on the platform here. They represent new life in Jesus. And last week, we had four people nail ribbons onto the cross. Jackson, Damien, Lily, and Aurelia. Would you celebrate that as well? In addition to our guest speaker today, we have another guest that has returned home to be with us today. Rob, would you come on up here? This is Rob Childs. Rob was our executive pastor for many years. Welcome.
Hey, thank you.
And Rob, you and Sandy attended Salem Alliance for 21 years before you took this new role with our national office. We're so glad that you are back here and hanging out with us. Tell us a little bit about how you're doing. How's the transition been?
Yeah, so after Sandy and I moved 4 years ago to the Midwest, after living our entire married lives in the Pacific Northwest, we're now having a Midwest experience, and I could go down the list of every area that we've had change in our lives, from weather to topography. There's no snow-capped mountains in the distance. The ocean beach is a little longer than an hour away. We attended big churches for 30 years. Now we're in a church of 150. So worked in church ministry for years. Now national office. Just a lot of changes. We're adapting is the kind of the word I use to a new environment. We're seeing God show up.
Okay. Well, you're adapting, and welcome back home. I hope you're enjoying the clean air, filling your lungs, the tasty water that you're hydrating your body.
Yeah, don't rub it in, Rob.
Yeah, welcome back. So, you might want to consider coming back. So anyway, one of the reasons that Rob is here this weekend is we are just promoting, he and John are doing something pretty cool at the national office. It's this project called Project Reimagine. Tell us a little bit about this project.
Yeah, so John and I worked together, had the privilege of working here at Salem Alliance 15 plus years ago, and during that season, that's when Broadway Commons, the land was purchased, and the vision was cast, and the fundraising, and the construction, and began to operationalize it. And we've learned a lot, and you've learned a lot, about how to engage with the community through a project, a mixed-use project like Broadway Commons. So we are now taking that and disrupting a bit of the national office model, which has been in an isolated business park for decades with no interaction with the public, and taking the model of Broadway Commons, call it Broadway Commons 2.0 in a different context, and taking it and applying it to our setting. We've bought 14 acres outside of Columbus, and we're building an anchor building a little bit bigger than the Broadway Commons, but it'll have a lot of the same kind of features. Office, meeting rooms, coffee shop, of course, retail on the campus, an outdoor space, other buildings as well, housing, which you're also considering doing on the Walker Cycle property. So a lot like what's happening here, we're trying to take there to create an environment where there's engagement with the community, and it helps to provide an income stream to reduce some of the expenses in the Great Commission Fund, thereby allowing more money to go towards missional purposes. So it in a nutshell.
That is the very succinct nutshell. If you want to hear more about it, because there's a lot more to the vision, we're going to be hosting just kind of an open house with Rob and John. That's today at 4 o'clock over in the Grant Room.
Yep.
Yeah, you're bringing snacks in to really entice
everybody.
Snacks
and light dessert, so come for
snacks
that if nothing else. So.
But if you have time, if you're free and you want to hear more about this project, encourage you to check that out. But thanks for being here today, Rob.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks,
absolutely.
Rob.
And hey, as I mentioned, we're kicking off our Reach campaign. Bible study guides are out there if you want to just jump in a little bit deeper theologically and see why it is we do what we do. Today is our Great Commission Sunday, which means a couple of things. One, we're kicking off the series, but also the Great Commission Fund, which is a fund that we give to here. We're just continuing to give to that. And today, whatever comes in, if you're interested in giving a little extra today, everything that's given today will actually be matched. There's a matching grant to help raise funds to send our workers. Next week, we'll be commissioning two more from Salem Alliance, and we're excited about that. But John, would you come on up here? This is John Stumbo, our dear friend, former pastor. We are doubly blessed to have John here. As a former pastor, welcome home. As a man of authority that is the president of our entire denomination, we're excited to have you. And as we kick off this next Reach campaign for this year, we are just delighted that you get to be the one to bring the word of God. So thanks for being here. Appreciate
it. And Rob, thank you for accepting the call to lead this congregation that I love. I'm glad the mantle fell to you. And may God continue to sustain you and give you the grace needed.
Thanks, John.
Good morning, church. Good morning. I love being back. This is awesome. Now, we have the awkward moment. Some of you have known me for 20 years. You prayed for me through a health crisis. You prayed me back to life. You prayed that I get another job. You prayed for me in all sorts of ways. Others of you are wondering, why did they bring up a guy who smokes a pack of cigarettes a day to give the message? So we got the whole thing going on in the room here. That's all right. Let's just call it for what it is. But I'm standing here to say that I am honored to get to launch your Reach Month, that this church, through its history, has had a heart not just for your city, but for the whole world. And so we get to take time from God's words for us to focus on that today. I got to speak at an Ethiopian church when I was brand new in Columbus. We moved from Colorado to Columbus to reposition this office. And our largest Alliance church in Columbus is Ethiopian. And I was asked to come early and speak to the youth group. And so there was all these guys on one side of the auditorium and all these ladies on the other side of the auditorium, and I didn't ask why it was a split, but that's just the way it was. And I wanted to make it interactive, and so I would throw out questions, and the guys were like on it. They had been well trained in the scriptures, so I'd ask a question about the Holy Spirit, and boom, they would give me this answer. But they all seemed kind of textbook, you know what I mean? Like the knowledge right answer. But anyway, the question at the moment was, when you encounter the Holy Spirit in a way that he begins to change you, when you open yourself to be changed by the Spirit, what changes within you? Boom. Fruit of the Spirit, one young guy says. Well, great. Correct answer. He does give us his love, joy, and peace. But I was looking for something that had maybe been processed a little bit more in life experience. And I said to the ladies, I don't want to embarrass you, but I haven't heard from you yet. But would any of you be bold enough to tell me when the Holy Spirit changes us, what happens? And she couldn't have been more than ninth grade and 90 pounds. Her little hand went up and she said, when we're changed by the Holy Spirit, we begin to see people we would not otherwise see. I knew two things instantly. One, she knew what it was to be filled with the Spirit. And two, she knew what it was to be unseen. An immigrant girl in our community, small build, easy to look right past her and not even notice that she was there. But she knew that when the Spirit of God catches hold of us, he enlarges our vision, enlarges our hearts. And that's what this month is about, an enlargement of our hearts and minds and eyes to see what God is doing in the world. And no better text for us today than Acts chapter 1. If you'd grab a Bible or a device, and Acts chapter 1, Jesus, it's post-Easter. We've celebrated his resurrection. He's been showing up behind locked doors. They're having lunch, and all of a sudden he's there asking for a piece of fish and scaring the daylights out of them. But now they're on the hillside, and they get to talk to him one more time, and they ask a question that reveals that they still don't understand so much. And Jesus has three corrections for their misunderstandings. They reveal that they're confused on three points, and Jesus corrects their misunderstandings with this answer. And here's how it goes, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they met together again, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of the earth. Lord, would you use these words to somehow be anointed by your Spirit to enlarge our hearts, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. So three misconceptions in the question asked by the disciples. The first one, very simply, they thought they were going to get to know the when question. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom? How many times have you asked the when question? Lord, how long is this going to last? When am I going to get a job? When am I going to get married? When? And guess what? We hardly ever get to know the answer, right? It's a sweet thing. It's the kindness of God that he doesn't let us know the future. If I had known on that beautiful October weekend in 2008, as I stood before this congregation, that that was the last time I would ever preach in this congregation as your senior pastor, I could not have handled that information without it totally affecting the moment. Only God is big enough to know the future and not have it affect the present. We're not that big. So what's the result? He knows the future, you don't. Therefore, we just have to trust him, right? How irritating! We just have to trust him. And it's actually the good journey that he wants us to be on. So when is he coming back? We don't know. We know that he is. When are you going to have this prayer answered? I don't know. We just know that he has us on a journey. So that's the first misconception that they had. That's misconception number two, is the what question. What are you going to do? Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Do we get our nation back, is what they're asking. And he gently says to them that he has a different mission. Yes, he cares about their nation, but he also cares about the whole globe. So he says to them, you're going to receive power when the Spirit comes on you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. That there is a mission that he is on, but it was bigger than the mission that they wanted him to be on. They weren't the first or the last people to want to make the story just about themselves. And Jesus breaks it down in these four categories, we can say. And this is what you do during your Reach Month. And so throughout this month, you're going to be hearing about this. Jerusalem, your city. Salem, the place that you love. Answer it, bless it, make it better. I hope you pray for your city, weep over your city, love your city. But don't get stuck in your city. Judea, that's the surrounding region. In the Christmas Year Alliance, we have a goal right now of planting one new church a week in the United States for the next 2 years. Because there's many churches who are saying, wow, that rival sports team, that community across the river, that place over there in the other zip code, there's not a great gospel presence there for people to embrace the love of Jesus. And so we extend that witness. Judea, Samaria. This is the interesting combination of humanity that is ever increasing in our world, where people of different backgrounds are all living in the same region. Ethnically, culturally different from each other, linguistically different from each other, but geographically present in the midst of one another. And it's an easy thing for the Church of Jesus Christ to just separate itself into different segments. And Jesus is saying to us, my church will care about people who aren't just like themselves. The church that I'm building will be a church that is able to reach across ethnic, cultural, linguistic lines and bring my loving message to people who are different from us. That our cultural identity would not be the most important aspect of who we are, but our identity in Christ would be our most important identity. And therefore, we would be willing to lay down some of our rights and privileges and to experience the beauty of what it is to engage in a cross-cultural expression of the church. So I'm celebrating Salem Alliance this weekend because you are leading the way once again as a congregation, and this time you're leading the way in saying, we know our city's changing, we know that's hard for some, but we know that this is an opportunity for us to live out the gospel in a fresh way. And so bless you, Salem Alliance. I have never sung in Swahili before. Maybe I still haven't, but anyway. So, Samaria. And all the way to the ends of the earth, Jesus is calling the church to have a heart for the whole globe, for us to be willing to not just cross cultural, linguistic, ethnic lines, but cross oceans and enter into places that are hard to get to. There is still a world in great need of the presence of the gospel of Christ being brought from the outside. Here's the math for the handful of you in the room who actually like math. If you were a non-Christian in the United States and wanted to meet a Christian, and you were bold enough to knock on doors and ask, are you a follower of Jesus? In the United States, if you knocked on a door every 15 minutes, within an hour and a half, statistically speaking, you should be able to find a Christian, true follower of Jesus. Let's go to Europe. In most sections of Europe, if you want to find a follower of Jesus and you knocked on a door, you'd have to knock on a door every 15 minutes for 8 hours a day for a day and a half, and you'd find a follower of Jesus. But there are sections of the world today, I must tell you, places like in the Middle East and former Soviet Union, some of the Stan countries and northern India, there are places in the world today that if you wanted to find a follower of Jesus and you started knocking on doors every 15 minutes for 8 hours a day for 365 days a year, for 2.5 years before you'd find your very first follower of Jesus. That there is not equal access to the gospel in this world, and so therefore somebody must come and bring the presence and message and love of Jesus, and often it's very difficult to do so because governmental structures are built in such a way to keep people from doing that kind of thing, but we go and we send and say to the Alliance, you've been doing this very well for a very long time. Do you remember the story of your own history that in your early days, Salem Alliance, our building collapsed? A good Salem snowstorm, which aren't frequent, but when they come, they can be heavy, and the building roof collapsed. And the elders were discouraged because the church wasn't growing anyway. They had had some difficult times, and with the collapse of the building, they decided to close the church. And Elder Sheets came home to his wife, Bertha, and announced that we're closing the church. The elders voted, and Bertha said, oh no, we're not closing the church. If we do, who's going to support the missionaries? And so Elder Sheets went back and said, we're not closing the church because who's going to support the missionaries? And we're still open. 100 years later, praise Jesus, right? And I have to tell you, the one thing that we've done through the decades is care about the globe, support the missional work. To the extent that I have now discovered through our records at the national office, the Salem Alliance Church, through your faithful giving through the decades, has now passed the 15 million dollar mark in giving to global missions to the Alliance. That is remarkable. Week after week, year after year, decade after decade, taking this passage seriously, that we have to be the kind of people to take the love and message of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And we're going to commit our resources and our prayers and our people to do so. You have a long history of being a global training, global sending, global praying, global giving congregation, and I celebrate it. And when you look at Jesus' words, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the earth, you see how it all weaves together, that it works best if it's all happening simultaneously and you're doing it. I thank you for it. So things are happening at this moment across the globe that you're part of, that I don't have time to tell all the stories, but you're participating in them through your prayers and your sending and your giving. Like a former brothel in the Dominican Republic, close to a university, that we have been able to redeem and rescue now as a coffee shop, ministry training center, and church plant and leadership development for young adults. A prison in Uruguay, a completely secular state. Uruguay kicked out all religion 100 years ago, have a secular state, but in the prison system, there is now this hunger for the gospel, and men are hardened criminals, in the words of our IW, are now weeping every week as they are embracing the loving forgiveness and message of Jesus. Ukraine, the war-torn situation there, you have 20-some sister congregations in the most battle-torn section of Ukraine that are still meeting. Some families have been able to leave the region, but the churches are just as full, baptizing people on a regular basis that are coming to faith in Christ in the midst of the war. And we just delivered 5 tons of food from Poland over to Ukraine so that those churches could not only eat themselves but minister to their communities. Story after story of street children in Uruguay and church planting in Cambodia, and 5 nations just turned 100 as far as our alliance presence in those countries. They had their 100th birthday celebration. Syria, Colombia, Cambodia, Burkina Faso, Mali. Beautiful, large expressions of the gospel, and grateful to have received the message of Jesus. These are your stories. This is what you're part of. Hundreds more that could be said. A few years ago, one of our international workers, a female, was having a clandestine Bible study in her kitchen, a single copy of the Bible on her kitchen table, and Muslim women with their full attire came sneaking into her house from different directions to gather around out of curiosity of the Word of God. And as she was giving the gospel and explaining the scriptures, one of the Muslim women interrupted and said, "Excuse me, I don't want to embarrass you. You're just learning the Arabic language, but you just made a language mistake." And our international worker said, "Well, please explain to me what I said." The Muslim woman said, "You just told us we could be forgiven of everything that we've ever done. Certainly I misunderstood your Arabic, because that's impossible." "No," our missionary said, "I actually didn't make a language mistake this time. That's what I tried to say, because that's what the gospel says, that we have forgiveness provided for us through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ for everything that we've done. He wants to embrace us, make us clean and whole." What a message! And we believe that it is a justice issue, that not everyone has access to that message. So as Paul said in Romans, how can they believe in the one they've not heard of? And how can they hear unless someone preaches to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And so we are part of this big plan of Jesus that he introduced in his final words to us when he gave us the what. I have a heart for the whole world, and I'm going to send my church to reach the whole world, starting in your town and then every segment of human society. Bless you, Salem Alliance, for your engagement in that. The when question, are you at this time? The what question, what are you going to do? The third misunderstanding that Jesus corrects is the who. Listen carefully. "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom?" It's not for you to know the times and days, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Did you see what just happened there? 1 you going up at him, 3 yous coming back at them. Awesome. No scolding, but training, discipleship, teaching, formation. I'm going to do something, Jesus is saying. I'm going to send you my Spirit. I'm going to do the most important thing. I'm going to empower you by my loving, fruit-bearing Holy Spirit, who can give you eyes to see and an ear to hear and a heart that you would not otherwise have. I'm going to release you to be a new form of you in bringing my love and message to the peoples of the world. And so, yes, I'm going to do something. I'm going to give you my Spirit, and then you have the assignment to take my message to the peoples of the world. This is both exciting and frightening at the same time. What? He was thinking of me when he said those words on the side of the mountain? I think so. I believe so. The Church of Jesus Christ advances as all of us encounter the fullness of the Spirit of God in our lives, open ourselves to whatever He has for us to do. And don't worry, most of us won't be sent to some faraway place across the ocean. Most of us just need to stay right here and do our jobs and live in our community with a sense of eyes to see and heart to experience all that He has. But if He does call you to go, that is a great privilege as well. The Who. Not the rock band. Bad joke. I got to preach in the Philippines some years ago for their conference for the Christian Missionary Alliance. It's called COMECOP in the Philippines. Five nations, the Christian Missionary Alliance has outgrown the United States. Five of the kids have outgrown the parent, and the Philippines is one of those. So their conference is a large conference. And when I was preaching there the whole week, and they had these big jumbotron screens on each side of the auditorium for the worship lyrics and all that. Not the kind of screen where an image is on the screen, but the kind of screens that are lit up themselves like at a sports stadium. And they'd worked fine all week, and I didn't use them all week, but the last morning they had asked me if I'd share my story. The story that many of you here know, and of my health crisis and the healing that came. And I used 16 photos and a video of that Sunday that I was asked to come back, and I'm standing behind a walker, and I got a feeding tube hiding here, and I got a spit rag that I'm spitting into, and I'm trying to bring you a 5-minute sermon. Well, I show that video often when I tell the story. Those of you that were sitting over in this section of the auditorium, the camera panned and got all of you guys who were over there. I got there that morning to give the message, and the screens weren't working. They were totally dark. I said to the tech guy, what's going on? He said, no electricity. I don't know what no electricity means in Manila, but I know this isn't good news. The worship leader stands up and starts doing the say a line, sing a line, say a line, sing a line, because there's no lyrics on the screens. I start praying with my eyes open. God, I need those screens. Little flashes of digital nonsense come on the screen, and then it goes black again. I'm sitting next to a guy from the College of Prayer named Don, and I say, Don, I need those screens. And he does this. He's rebuking demons. He's calling for angels. I got my eyes open, and the whole screen lights up with digital nonsense and then goes dark again. And I said, well, you got more than I did, buddy. Now it's time for me to preach. I'm standing up there. I am distracted. Black, black, black. Finally, I just stopped. And I said to this large congregation, would you break into prayer huddles? You know that these screens haven't worked all day. I'm about to need them very badly. Would you pray that God will give us those screens? And in 4 minutes or less, he did. They lit up. They worked perfectly. The entire rest of the service, no problem at all. Now, that's not the whole story. 2 years later, I was preaching in California. And a Filipino woman came running up to me after the service, all excited, and she said, Dr. Stumbo, do you remember when you spoke in Manila? Oh, yes, I loved it. It was great. Do you remember the day that the screens didn't work? Yes. Do you remember how you broke us into prayer groups? Yes, yes. She was retelling me the whole story, and then she said something I didn't know. She said, we're still telling that story in the Philippines. Why? Because it became their story. God could have answered my prayers. God could have answered Don's prayers for sure. But God waited until the whole community engaged so the whole community could experience the joy of partnership in the moment. Hear me, Salem Alliance. The kingdom of Jesus rarely advances through one or few leaders alone. Yes, we need senior leadership. Yes, we value them. But the kingdom of Jesus advances in Salem and across the globe when all of us discover that God has a place for me as well. Then it becomes your story, the story of reaching the globe and reaching your town. Nations and neighborhoods becomes your story because you've invested in it prayerfully, financially, volunteering, etc. The worship team's coming out as we close this service. But hear my loving affection for this congregation. I miss you. But also hear my appreciation. I get to sit in a different chair now. Well, I'm not in the chair very much, but I get to occupy a different position now where I get to see the globe and I get to see the whole United States. And you have something beautiful and unique here. Cherish it. And invest in it. Engage it. This is a moment in church history across our nation and world where criticism rules the day. And it is not advancing the name of Jesus, and it is not helping a single church. We think we're smart and wise because we can rip something apart. That takes no smarts or wisdom at all. It just takes an opinion. But Salem Alliance, bless you for finding your place of peace. Say, we have a mission that we're on. We have something important. And yeah, I'll have to lay down my preferences once in a while. That's okay. There'll be other moments where it feels like it's just for me. And you're on mission. You are on mission. But the mission isn't on your shoulders. It's on the shoulders of the Holy Spirit who empowers us. So as Greta leads us in this final song, let's stand and let's open ourselves to what it is that the Spirit of God is wanting to do among us.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.